Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. My Facebook says live streaming, but it's going to Sister Sheila account, and I have to send it over after I get off air. But I did post it up that you can listen to me live now at www.livedeliverance.com. You can come to our blog talk room, error code 646-378-1857. Again, welcome to all of you. Thank God for your support, for your financial support. I thank the Lord for you. Continue to help us in this ministry. We will be back on YouTube. We will gain our ground back. I want to share some things that deals with the body of Christ. There are a lot of Christians don't know anything about the gifts, the provision of the Bible concerning gifts. We're going to be talking about the ministry gifts. Let's first talk about Christ's provision for his church. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, how God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Lord, open up the hearers so they can understand the ministry gifts that's available to them. And I bind Satan in the name of Jesus and any interfering spirit that will try to block this broadcast. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Some of you in churches and never even see any of the fivefold gifts mentioned. So we're going to start off with Christ's provisions for his church. He gave, the Lord Jesus Christ gave these ministry gifts. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, you have to understand this. When did he give them? When he ascended on high, talking with him? The Old Testament saints, who since their physical death had awaited in paradise, Abraham's bosom, the consummation of God's great plan of redemption. In Ephesians chapter 4, 8 through 10, wherefore he say, when he ascend upon up on high, he led captives captives and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descend first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up from above all heavens, that he might fill all things. For where did he give this ministry gift? The ministry gifts came from the Lord Jesus Christ himself when he ascended and sat down on the right hand of God. In Ephesians 4:12, the word of God says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And I'm finding a lot of people are not getting edified because they don't have these gifts operating in their church. And it's just still stuck with the same pastor to do the same thing with no gifts. The perfecting of the saints, the Greek word K-A-T-A-R-T-I-S-M-O-S, translated perfecting. The Lord wants to perfect us, and we have to have these gifts for that perfection. It's for the work of the ministry, and it's for the edifying of the body and the body of Christ. How long did Jesus Christ gave these gift ministries? Tongues hasn't ceased. Ephesians 4:13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measures of the statutes of the fulfillment of Christ. The ministry gifts are Christ's provisions to the church to build up, edify, and to mature the saints. And some of you are in churches do not see any of these gifts. Error teachings will surface sometimes and go stress what the term body ministry or prosperity ministry. And these ministries will use certain of these gifts that they say that they're operating in, and you never see them fully in function at all. You may see tongues and some interpretation of tongues or some false prophecy, but not the fullness. We don't need pastors and ministers any longer. God is not using ministers anymore. We'll be called ambassadors. You got people calling themselves ambassadors. That's not in the Bible. That's to take away from the gifts that God gives us. The enemy don't want you to know that. The scripture says that he gave these gifts to men till we all come unto a perfect man, unto the measures of the statutes of the fullness of Christ. Until Jesus come, all of us as a body of believers will never come to the place of maturity. When Jesus comes, some spiritual babes will just have been born into the family of God. They will not have had the time to mature when he comes. But why he here, he has given us these gifts. What is the ultimate aim in all of ministry? In Ephesians 4:13 says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measures of the statutes of the fullness of Christ, that he henceforth be not more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind and doctrine by the sight of man. This avoids us from being in the spirit of error. This avoids us from having to be thinking that a prosperity minister is of the Holy Spirit when he's not. Cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. The gifts protects you from the deception of Satan and the pastors. And if you don't have the gift, you're going to get duped. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him, into all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by which every joint supplied according to the effectual working and the measures of every part, make an increase of the body into the edification of itself in love. We need all five ministry gifts working together to bring the body of Christ into full stature of Jesus. And if we don't have it, it's not going to work. Spiritual children are easily disturbed and swept about by false things and false doctrines. That's why that pastor needs to have a grip of the spiritual gifts himself so that he can see and distribute members in there that's anointed with these gifts to protect these ones, to train them so that they can have the gift, so they can pass it to somebody else, not for filthy lucre sake where he is now. The church is moving in everything which is money. These subjects, what I'm saying, is not popular in the church today. The ministry gifts Christ placed in the church helps us grow up into his image. So you can't grow up into his image without these gifts. It is impossible. We cannot reach the place without the function of the fivefold ministry. Some areas of Christianity doesn't even have the fivefold gifts ministry, especially casting out demons. They don't even deal with that. The ultimate aim of all ministries is not for self-glorying or to magnify humans in any way, but that's where we're at today. You pastors signing autographs, writing books, standing out in front as if he's the man of God and he has the only answer. He ain't the only one got gifts. Does he tell you that you can get them too? I want you to have the gifts so you won't keep calling me, asking me. No, you need to get the gifts. Not that I don't mind you calling, but babes need to get the gifts. It is entirely to edify and mature the body of Christ. It takes all these ministry functions together to edify, build up the body of Christ. And when God gives us this gift, he has a divine call for us. He has gifts because of the calling that we have. God has said in the church, this is a divine call in 1 Corinthians 12:27 and 28. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Ephesians 4:11 says, the pastor says, now the Christian pastor is called the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the church. God sets ministry gifts in the church for everybody, not just for one man, but for everybody. There are set up organizations and churches sometimes which is controlled by man, which leaves out the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which leaves out things that is unscriptural, performing. God doesn't settle with that, and God doesn't like it. How can you tell a divine call if God has called you? You will have conviction in your own spirit. You would have the witness in your own heart. You would have spiritual equipment, gifts of the spirit that go along with the offices and others to which God has given you. When God called me into the ministry, I knew nothing about demons. I was familiar with it. I was with Pastor Wayne Thompson. I saw Win Worley come to the church in Dotson County in East Point, Georgia, Fellowship of Faith Church. I was at Episcopalian in 1986 when Derek Prince laid hands on me. I witnessed the ministry of deliverance, but I never knew that God would have a calling to me. And I never knew that I would be called into this ministry. God will equip you if you are called to the ministry, whether you're a lay person or not. Please, whom God calls, he equips. We got people out here that's called apostles and pastors and all these titles, man, and ain't no anointing flowing with them at all. The ministry gifts are people who are called of God to the full-time ministry. Philip is called an evangelist. Peter is called an apostle. Paul is called a prophet and a teacher first and later on an apostle. Other people in the New Testament are called ministry gifts. These people, ministry gifts whom God calls, he equips with spiritual gifts. And every one of you need these gifts. There's nowhere in the Bible that just the pastors are supposed to have it. That's not scripture. These ministries are not based on natural gifts, but on spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, not realizing this, results in the church and the ministry getting away from supernatural into the natural. So when the supernatural gifts are not there, it's carnal. The church has carnality teaching, no demons, no word of knowledge, no prophetic word to give you hope if you need something, that God wants to warn you about something. You can't get none of it because it doesn't operate in it. And that's very sad. All the work of the ministry comes under the lordship of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church, the head, and the body are one. Therefore, Jesus directs all operation of his body from the right-hand side of the Father. In Mark chapter 16:20, and they went forth preaching everywhere. Watch this. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. We don't see this today. I've been preaching this 15 years and I don't see it. I see it with Pastor Earl. I see a whole lot of signs following. I've seen healing there. I've seen deliverance. I've helped deliverance. I ain't talking about him. I'm talking about I don't see it. I don't see it on the big screen on TBS or TBN. They're not going to put that on there. It was the Lord working with the early disciples. Well, why not the Lord working with these disciples today? Because there are false apostles out here. There are many people out here in this for the wrong thing. Most of them in it for the money, and they don't care nothing about no anointing. And they'll trick you because you don't have the anointing, and then you go get tricked. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the one who gives. He is the one who calls. He is the one who equips. Let him do it. You don't need man doing that. And be faithful to your call. God wants us to be faithful. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That means you. I'm not talking about the pastor or the bishop. You have to do that so that when you see the gifts and you have the gifts, you can't get deceived. Amen. Ministries are developed. If you are called to the ministry, take time to develop the ministerial gifts. It takes time for people to become equipped to do what God has for them to do. They must not only be equipped spiritually, they must naturally, maturely, and spiritually be equipped. Usually people start off in different areas of ministries from what God has called them to. I started off cleaning the church commodes at Fellowship of Faith. From the commodes, I went to the band. From the band, I became a messenger for Fellowship of Faith, delivering food to Jamaica. Years after that, I moved into chaplaincy during the time of a backsliding era, and then came back to the Lord and moved into the chaplaincy for 14 years and been running internet radio since then. But you got to crawl before you walk in ministry. You have to humble yourself. You have to allow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to come into you. You have to be corrected. If you don't want any chastisement, stay out of the ministry. God wants you to be chastised. He wants to correct you. He wants to give you a variety of balance. One of the most fascinating things concerning the ministry gift is Christ and their balance and power. The apostles' offices seem to embrace almost every type of ministry. The prophet's ministry is inspirational. He speaks by direct divine inspiration and revelation. The evangelist has a direct endowment from the Lord to preach the word for the salvation of souls. Pastors are the shepherds of God's sheep. Teachers, those who fill the office of a teacher, the word, not by natural ability, but by divine ability of the Holy Spirit. You cannot be a teacher if you don't have the Holy Spirit telling you and giving you the words within your spirit. That takes time, reading, dedicating, meditating on the word of God, and it takes work. The ministry gifts has been given to the church to bring a balance in the church. We see an example of ministry gift working together in the church of Antioch in Acts chapter 13, verse 1. The matter of the balance of ministry gives the body of Christ a vital importance to be effective to the believer. One ministry gift often alone cannot help the effectiveness to be able to minister to all the needs of the entire body of Christ. This is why people around you need to have the gifts, the word of knowledge, the discernment of the Holy Spirit, word of wisdom. If you don't have these gifts, you cannot really minister to people. The body of Christ needs to realize that Christ gave a ministerial gift to the church for a reason. All of them are central in order for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to come into full stature in Christ. Teachers can sometimes think evangelists are too flamboyant and sensational. Evangelists can think teachers are dry and dogmatic. Evangelists and teachers often agree, saying the prophets can sometimes be intense and extreme. Now, that's being used by the devil. Now, see, when you're doing something like that in the ministry, that ain't the Holy Ghost. That's confusion. God wants you to have these gifts. God wants you to have the power. There are many gifts of the Holy Spirit we had talked on. I'm going to move in the church positions of the apostle, and I'm going to explain that according to Scripture. Everybody's called himself apostle, but the Bible speaks of many types of apostles. We need to look at that because these are the ministerial gifts before we close. Let's look. 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. And he gave some apostles. The ministry gift which heads is the list is the apostle. However, that does not mean that it is the most important ministry gift in the local body today, nor does it mean that the apostles are to dominate over the other ministry gifts in the body of Christ. In other words, Paul was not establishing a hierarchy for local church government by the way he listed in the ministries. So if you're in the ministry, stay away from pride. You're not in the ministry to be proudful. You're there because God put you in a position to help the body of Christ. Actually, Paul was probably listing these offices in the order he did because of the way God set and developed ministry gifts in the early church. You see, in the establishment of the universal church following the resurrection of Jesus, the apostles and prophets was obviously the most important ministry officers because they was the first ministers to go to develop and set up in the body of Christ. Also, they were foundation apostles and prophets. They laid the foundation for the New Testament. In other words, they was initially the most important officers when the early church was just beginning because they brought forth the revelation of the New Testament, which is the foundation upon the church in all generations and is to be established. However, in terms of the operation of the local church today in 1 Corinthians 12:28, is not a list of the office of the apostles and prophets in other importance. Neither is it listed indicated that the apostles and prophets are governing officers within the local church. Apostles and prophets do not make up the office of government found in 1 Corinthians 12:28. For one thing, Paul listed governments as an entirely separate office. It probably refers to the pastoral office. For other things, some offices are listed in a certain order in the ministry listed in Ephesians 4:11 and in another order in the ministry listed in 1 Corinthians 12:28. Therefore, the list of 1 Corinthians 12:28 does not indicate that the office of the apostles and prophets are the most important or the government office in the local church today. The most significant statement of the fact that the Bible regarding this office is that it was fulfilled by Christ himself. In Hebrews 3:1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostles and high priests of our profession, Jesus Christ. The Greek word apostolos, A-P-O-S-T-O-L-O-S, translated apostles mean one sent forth, a sent one. What are you sent to do? I don't go in churches. I'm not sent to go in churches. I'm sent to teach internet radio. That's it. Jesus Christ is the greatest example of a sent one. Not these ones you're talking about running around, they sent, because most of them are not. In John 20, verse 21, then said Jesus to them, peace be as unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. A true apostle is always one with a commission, not one who mainly goes, but one who is sent by the Holy Spirit. Acts 13 gives a picture of the sent forth of Barabbas and Paul to be apostles to the Gentiles. The sign of an apostle. The Bible speaks of signs of an apostle in 2 Corinthians 12:12. Truly, the signs of an apostle will walk among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. What are these signs? Signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. The fruit of an apostle. The Bible also talks about the work of the fruit of the apostolic ministry. In 1 Corinthians 9:1, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? In defending his apostleship, Paul could rightly say, are not yet my work in the Lord? The fruits of apostle apostolic ministry were people who were solidly established in the word. In 1 Corinthians 9:2, if I be not an apostle unto others, ye doubtless am I to you. For the seal of my apostleship, are ye in the Lord? Paul could also point out establishment churches says that they were sealed of the first of the apostolic ministries in the epistles. Paul addressed many of his letters to the church he had established, and in 1 Corinthians 4:15, we see the true nature of the apostolic call. In 1 Corinthians 4:15, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Paul was really a spiritual father to those who had led and established in the faith. Although Paul founded and established many churches, he didn't rule over those people. People and more, he loved them, not controlling them as what we do when we have pastors today. Most of them are controlling. You come see me before you leave, check the tithe money, make sure you're okay so you can stay there. It's ridiculous. Paul's apostolic office didn't give him the authority to tell people and churches what to do in every area of their life. Yet some of the so-called apostles today try to run every aspect of a human being's life, including people, personal lives. And I see people calling me that mess every day. Paul's statements to every church he wrote in the epistles, he didn't command them. He wasn't a dictator over them. He addressed them in fatherly tones of genuine care and concern. Now I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:1, not these so-called apostles today. in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 6 through 12. None of men sought we glory, neither of nor yet others, when we might have been burdened as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as nourish the cherishment of her children, so being affectionate, desirous of you, and willing to have impartation unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also of our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Paul demonstrates his attitudes in scriptures is that he's not trying to be a lordship or exalt, but an example to people as an apostle. The apostolic care and concern for the church is made even more clear in the Amplified Version in 1 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 11. But we have behaved gently when we were among you like devoted mothers nursing and cherishing you. That's what an apostle does. He established a church. He's sent to go out to teach. Signs should wonder. He should set up churches if he's that type of apostle. And not to rule over people in harshly in pride or in superiority. Some of these people take this position wrong and may misuse it. Some of the so-called apostles today command people by saying, you have to listen to me and do what I say because I'm an apostle. That's not scripture. A statement like that cannot be proven in the Bible. Characteristics of an apostle. An apostle is first and foremost a preacher or a teacher or a preacher and a teacher of the word. I am a teacher of the word. I am not a preacher. In 1 Timothy 2, 7, wherefore I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth of Christ and lie not, and teachers of the Gentiles in faith and variety. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, 11, wherefore I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Paul was a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. So in the apostle position, God can give you many, one, two, or three. It's based on how the Holy Spirit gives you and your obedience to the Lord. Notice, Paul didn't say I'm the first ordained an apostle. No, Paul said he was first ordained a preacher because he was first and foremost a preacher and a teacher of the word of God. To stand in the office, one must have a deep personal encounter with the Lord and an ongoing spiritual strong relationship with him and his word, something beyond the extraordinary. And you got to study. You got to read. You got to stay in the word. I don't really like being called an apostle because the demons attack it. I just want to be a brother in the Lord, but I know God called me to be an apostle, but I don't really want to sign autographs and be, you know, proud. I'm humble, but it's not what you think it is. Believe me. Notice, in defending his apostleship, I am not an apostle. Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? 1 Corinthians 9:1. Paul did not see Jesus in the flesh as the 12 did, but he saw Jesus in spiritual visions. In Acts 9:3-6, Paul had a deep spiritual experience with the Lord. Even his conversion was beyond the ordinary. So when you see apostles, they have to have some ordinary abilities. Word of knowledge must be strong. All of my word of knowledge that I've presented to Rodriguez Baker for the past 18 years, not one has ever been caught as a lie. The prophetic word I gave out, not one has ever been called out a lie. Paul had a deep spiritual experience with the Lord that he could say concerning what he knew about the Lord's Supper. For I had received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. Paul didn't learn what he knew about the subject from other apostles. He got it by revelation. Jesus gives it to all apostles and all lay people. The Lord will give you revelation. Paul wasn't taught the gospel. He preached by man. The Spirit of God taught it to him. But I certainly, you brethren, that the gospel which was preached unto me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus. And this here scripture gives me reference of my life. I didn't know the Bible when I met Chaplain John Durden. I knew it backslid. I'm in the office. I don't know nothing about, you know, I knew certain things, but it took me 3 years to prepare myself for ministry. I fasted every Wednesday, every Thursday, and every Friday for 3 years. I read the Bible from 9 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock in the morning. It takes work. And people misuse this word apostle. It has been misused. it has been mistaught. We're going to talk about the apostles of the Lamb tomorrow. We're going to talk about the four classes of an apostle. We're going to talk about the apostles' ministry to embrace all other ministry gifts. There's a lot concerning the teachings of apostles. We just started on this. But I want you to know that to be set apart means that you got to do a lot of work apart, and there's a lot of sacrifice. And if you don't fast, you're not going to grow. You have to kill the flesh, whether you're an apostle or not. But there are many people, and the Bible also says that there are false apostles, deceitful workers. Look at 2 Corinthians 11, 13, and 14. Everybody that you see is not an apostle. If you don't see the signs, if you don't see the gifts, if you don't see the humility, not an apostle. There's an African pastor in Georgia. I don't want to give his name. He don't know how to talk to people. He got anointed, but he has a very rude way of talking to people. And he told one priest, "What do you come to see me for? You sick? Where you? Well, how? What can I do for you?" And he called himself an apostle. Apostles don't act like that. Apostles don't steal money from the church. Apostles don't give out powerful revelation, take your money, and cut other folks off. Cut the members who've been with them for years. Stop paying them. Don't even call them and tell them that they terminated. Man, there's some pastors and some preachers and apostles doing some heavy stuff to people, hurting people, speaking to them, not even calling them. How they doing? Been with them 50 years and moved on, but they ain't moved on. They still struggling. You got some heartless apostles out here. So just because you people call themselves apostles, that don't mean nothing to me. I want to see the signs. I want to see the fruits. I want to see the gifts. I want to see the apostolic miracles and the things that are supposed to follow you. That's a true apostle. We want to thank you for listening to us here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. We're going to come back Thursday. We got Janet Taylor tomorrow. Sister Janet Taylor, I'm going to come back with part two of the apostle. We're going to look at the preacher, the evangelist. We're going to look at all of these gifts so that you can get a better understanding, because some of you just really have been sitting in churches and never been taught, just listen to a sermon and go back and forth, no understanding of the biblical terminologies of the gifts in the Bible and the things of the Spirit. This is a book, but it's done by the Spirit, not by the natural man. Please sow a seed to us at www.livedeliverance.com. We are in need of finances. It's been very, very difficult for us to receive. But I also want to thank my regular supporters. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't even be on air. Thank you, Sammy Osley. God bless you, Brother Tommy. Thank you, Brother John. Thank you, Sister Durden. Thank you, Pastor Rodriguez Baker and his wife. Thank you, Brother Paul. I thank those fruit that I have. Please sow a seed. We need to do a lot legally, and it's slowed down because of the finances. And I am trusting in God that that will change, and I know it will. Go to www.livedeliverance.com on the lower left-hand corner and sow a seed and keep us on air. Amen. We're going to close here on our live phase. We'll go back to some little praise and worship at www.livedeliverance.com, and then later on we're going to go back to When Worldly. Shalom to you. Stand by. Stand by, please. Chaplain John Durden, you got the mic.
Amen, brother. Appreciate that. That's what you taught on tonight is what I've been concentrating on for the last several years. And, you know, I don't have to summarize with nothing. I'm just going to say that you talk about the gift, the spiritual gift of believers, you know, like tongue interpretation, tongue and so forth and so forth. And, man, I've been studying this stuff for the last several years. And then not only did I find that there is spiritual gift of believers, but I started to find out you have the ministry gift. You know, like you said, some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers and so forth. I said, my God, I knew about that. But I had no idea about those spiritual gifts, because my pastor never mentioned anything from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. and I'm reading it over and over and over till I can put it in my spirit. And you sort of like summarize what I've been reading for the last several months. And I'm enjoying it. I'm going to get it where I can say it in my sleep. God bless you, man, for being obedient to the Lord. God bless you.
Amen. Area code 336, how can we help you? Good evening. Area code 336.
This is Evangelist Janet Taylor. I'm just listening in. I enjoyed it so much, Apostle. I just listened tonight. I just wanted to be taught of the Lord, and I listened, and I enjoyed the teaching. I'm sorry I didn't get all of it, but I will be. Are you going to finish it tomorrow night?
No, you teaching tomorrow night. I'm off.
That's exactly right. I forgot. Okay, well, I definitely want to get the second part of that teaching. Amen?
Yeah, I'm going to do the second part Tuesday.
Okay, I definitely want to be in tune for it. I enjoyed it tonight. May God richly bless you, Apostle.
Amen, and I'm going to call you back tonight as soon as I get off to post up your sermon.
All right.
God bless.
God bless you.
Yes, ma'am. That ends it for everybody. I tell you, we have been blessed. We got a good one from Sister Janet Taylor. Internet Radio. We'll see you tomorrow with Evangelist Janet Taylor. Shalom and good night.